Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Mothering Channel, welcome back to another episode of our series in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Remember, there are many blessings and virtues in reciting salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The beloved Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam has told us, Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alihi ashara, that he who recites salat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alihi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 blessings upon that person, subhanallah. My dear viewers, we should make it a regular habit of ours to recite salawat, to recite salian, send peace and salutations upon the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now previously, on our series, on our episode, in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, we heard about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his building the Masjid al-Nabawi, that famous masjid that we know of today, the masjid within al-Madinat al-Munawwara, known as Masjid al-Nabawi. People would call that the place is known as a haram. That place too, it's known as a haram. It's a sacred place, no doubt about it, where we have also the beloved or the blessed mausoleum of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That one we see with the green dome in the pictures, mashallah, many times hanging upon our walls. Alhamdulillah and subhanallah, that beautiful masjid was built. And yes, of course, it was changed over time, and yes, there was no green dome, but there was no dome at all at that time. Never mind a green dome. There was no dome whatsoever. There was not that brickwork, etc., or all of these ornaments or the beautification which it has, but it had its own beautification. It had its own beautification. Why? Because it was initially built by Rasulullah himself, as well as the companions radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And there were also houses around there, which we spoke about a little previously too. So the Messenger of Allah himself built that masjid. This is what we heard previously. Now we said that there wasn't a roof covering the entire masjid. But part of it was left open, part of it was covered to grant shade to the Muslims, to grant shade to the companions too, subhanAllah. Now there's a very, very important thing which must be discussed, and inshallah we shall be speaking about them throughout the rest of the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, because these individuals were of no doubt huge importance. Who are these people? These people are known as Ashabu Sufa. Yes, these people are the people of Safa, Sufa, that is. Who are the Ashab al-Sufa? Well, one famous individual from amongst them was Sayyidina Imam Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Yes, who narrated most of the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Narrated the most, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Abu Hurairah. Although Imam Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he only spent, because he migrated way later when all the tribes were migrating, coming to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, around about the 7th or the 8th year, some would say. The 8th year, meaning 7-8 years later. And he only spent a number of years with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He would spend all of his time with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Imam Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu, the father of, a person of, Hurairah kitten. Yes, kittens. Because he would love kittens and he would play with kittens and he would take care of kittens. SubhanAllah, the Messenger of Allah gave him this title that we don't know exactly what his real name was. Some scholars have mentioned different things. But we don't know exactly for sure what his real name was, SubhanAllah. There are differences of opinion. But we all know him as Abu Hurairah radhiallahu anhu. So he was from the Ashab al-Safa. So there was the part of the masjid, we did state that when the masjid was being built, the Qibla was towards Jerusalem. And when the Qibla changed, of course, it changed south, and we will be speaking about that in the future, inshallah. But then in that same north side, there was a little shaded area. And this is where those people who are known as the Ashab al-Sufa, this is where they would, you could say, seek refuge. This is where they would rest. This is where they would stay. And these were the Ashab al-Sufa, the people of Sufa, were those people who either didn't have any family, or they had traveled away, they had traveled from far distances, yes, and they had nothing of worldly possessions, close to nothing whatsoever within Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. But they were there at the service, at the feet of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They possibly had no money, nothing to buy a house, not enough money for their own food. Allahu Akbar. And these are those people who would devote themselves solely to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this is the place where they would stay. The various narrations mentioned about them. It said that whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, if he was to be given any sadaqah, if somebody came and gave something to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would say that, Ya Rasulullah, this is sadaqah. Then the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would first distribute this to them. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because it's sadaqah, it's a charity. And charity, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for himself, for his blessed family, he did not take charity. But if somebody was to come and say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is a gift, this is a hadiyah, this is a gift, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could take from it from himself too, as well as then give it to the Sahaba Sufa. So it was always coming and giving to the Sahaba Sufa, giving to the Sahaba Sufa, giving to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He cared for them so much. There were those people who were very, very poor. Those people who had nothing, but they had the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they had everything. You know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes say to the other companions, who would take them out? And some of the companions would take one person, another person would take two people, another person would go and take three people. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah, many a times he himself would go hungry. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he stated one Sayyidah Fatima radhiallahu anha came to him and asked him for something. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says that I will not give to you and leave the Ashab al-Sufa and leave the people of Sufa with their stomachs empty. Allahu Akbar. I will not give to you my own daughter, the Messenger of Allah's own daughter. I will not give to you whilst they are hungry. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his every act was so phenomenal, so extraordinary. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he showed such love for the poor, for the weak. He took care of those people who were poor, those people who were weak. SubhanAllah. Mentioned Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radhiallahu anhu, he describes Ashab al-Sufa. What is their number? I shall speak a little. Abu Hurairah radhiallahu anhu, and this is mentioned in various books of Ahadith. He says that, قال, رأيت سبعين من أصحاب الصفا. He says that I saw 70 of them. So in reality, we cannot give a definite number of how many the Sahab al-Sufa were. So some people have said there were 70, there were 72 people. However, in reality, it would increase, it would decrease. Some people who would come and travel, they would arrive al-Madinah al-Munawwara, they had nothing, they would join. So the number would always increase and decrease. We can't say a definite number, but sometimes people like to go by the number of 70. So Imam Abu Hurairah radhiallahu anhu, he states, I saw 70 of them from the Ashab al-Sufa. And he says, مَا مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ عَلِيهِ رِدَاءٌ. He said, I did not see even one man having a rida, A rida is generally what you would consider a cloak, something that can cover the entire body. He would say, I did not see even one man with a rida. Imma izar or kisa. He would have a sheet, etc. قَدْ رَبَطُوا فِي عَنَاقِهِمْ. And they would tie this around their necks. Because when a person is cold, then what they wish to cover overall is the neck. But this is how he describes them. فَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ نِصْفَ السَّاقَيْنِ. Sometimes a person's, you know, it would be long enough to go to his shins. وَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ الْكَعْبِينَ. Some of them were fortunate enough that the cloak was long enough to go to the ankles. فَيَجْمَعُهُ بِيَدِهِ. But he would gather it with his hand. Yes? Why? كَرَاهِيَةَ أَن تُرَاعُ عُورَتُهُ. Because he would fear that if he was not to hold it properly, you know, because he had to hold it properly, because he did not have enough, he did not have a separate cloth to cover his private parts. Yes? He did not have another cloth to cover another part of his body. That one cloth is all he possessed, all he had. And he would have to hold it strongly and tightly so that none of his private parts becomes exposed. Allahu Akbar. This was the state of the Ashab al-Safa, subhanallah. So there were approximately around about 70 or so people, and some of the scholars have mentioned, all the way up until 400. Those people who were completely devoted to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he describes his own situation, and he would say that whereas other people going for their business or to do this or to do that, I would spend all my time with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to everything the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be saying. Allahu Akbar. And this is how Sayyidina Imam Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and these companions amongst the greatest of companions and the greatest of scholars too, from the Sahaba Sufa, from amongst the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and amongst the most noble of all the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, amongst them. Yes, subhanallah. Why? Because they would give all the time to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, as well as this, my dear viewers of Madani channel, there's a few different incidents which took place, inshallah, I'll try to mention a few of those. One is it said, وَكَانَ يَخْطُبُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ إِلَى جِذْعٍ فِي الْمَسْجِدْ قَائِمًا قَالَ إِنَّ الْقِيَامَ قَدْ شَقَّ عَلَيَّ فَسُنِعَ لَهُ الْمِنْبَرِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would deliver a speech at the masjid, yes, he would be standing and he would lean against some sort of tree trunk that was. Yes, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he would be delivering a speech, and then he says that, look, it's become difficult now for me to stand. And what happens is, there's this one woman whose name some of the scholars have stated is Alasa. And she had a slave. Now there's differences as to what this person's name was exactly, but most like Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala, as well as many of the scholars, they state that the most prominent, it seems, is a person by the name of Maymoon. Possibly it was her slave. It says that she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was from the Ansar. قال للرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله ألا أجعل لك شيئا تقعد عليه فإن لي غلاما نجارا. She says that, يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, should I not have something made for you to sit on? Because my servant, my slave, is a najar, he's a carpenter. And it's stated that it can't be many of them, it can't be various people because of all these different names. So the scholar stated that it was either this one person, it was either this person Maymoon, or if you think it was many people, it was others working under him who made this. But otherwise, this predominantly, preponderance is given to this person being named as Maymoon. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in shi'ti, if you wish, then okay, you know, you can do that. قَالَ فَعَمِلَتْ لَهُ الْمِنْبَرُ. And then she had arranged for a minbar to be made for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ. A beautiful incident which took place. On the day of Jumu'ah, قَعَدَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ الَّذِي صُنِعَ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he then sat on that new minbar which was made for him. And the scholars state this at the time had three steps, and inshallah maybe we shall speak a little more on this. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would sit on this minbar. فصاحت النخلة التي كان يخطب عندها حتى كادت أن تنشق. And then it stays, so all they heard was some sort of screaming, some sort of crying. That other tree trunk, which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lean against, that began to cry. It's as if it was about to split. That's how much it cried. فَنَزَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَتَّى أَخَذَهَا فَضَمَّهَا إِلَيْهِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went to that tree trunk and hugged that trunk, joined, brought it to him. You know, how beautiful is that? How like, wow, the Messenger of Allah says, it's a tree trunk. But the tree trunk cried out. And the companions, they described the crying. You know, they say that it would cry the way a child, like when a child is being, you know, told to stop crying, it would cry like a child was crying. And then قال, بكت على ما كانت تسمع من الذكر. He cried because, you know, he remembered ala makana, because he used to listen to the dhikr of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. He would listen to the voice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he had the closeness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he lost this, and so subhanallah, that trunk would cry in the court of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he consoles that, subhanallah. Now this remained as it was three, this member, three-step member, until the time, he states, of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what happened later, due to the increase of the people, because there were so many people that was required, so it stated that six additional steps were added to it. Yes, and it was due to the demand, the need of the people, just as Sayyidina Uthman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he extended the masjid vastly, again, due to the need of the people that was. So this is another incident which occurred, you know, possibly around about that time. Some of the scholars say that this happened many years later in the 8th year Hijrah. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. But another incident which took place, and this is the coming into Islam of a great individual. This individual was the chief rabbi of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. When exactly does he accept Islam? Wallahu alam. But of course, there are many incidents, and this is one incident which, you know, is important for us to know. It's also we also learn the first hadith of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. The first hadith of Al-Madinatul Munawwara, many of the scholars have stated. And the name given to this hadith is Hadith As-Salam. They give this, the name of this hadith, they call it what? Hadith As-Salam. Why? Because it was narrated to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam. And because the topic of it was about salam. Yes, about peace, about spreading peace, about giving salam, greetings. So what is the narration? This is beautiful. This is mentioned in Ibn Majah Sharif. It stated that حدثني عبد الله ابن سلام, said that Abdullah ibn Salam says, لما قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة, when the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he came to المدينة المنورة, then إن جفل الناس قبله وَقِيلَ قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That the people began, they came out to the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ to come and meet him, to come and see. They rushed towards the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and they would all say, قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, that the Messenger has come, the Messenger has come. وَقِيلَ قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, قَدْ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. They say, you know, ثلاثاً, three times. You know, everyone keeps saying that the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ has come. فَجِئْتُ فِي النَّاسِ. And I thought, you know, I'll also come. Let's see, what is all this about? What's all this excitement about? So he says, I also decided to join them, you know, to see what's happening. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنْتُ وَجْهَهُ. This hadith sharif is so beautiful. He says, فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنْتُ وَجْهَهُ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابِ. He says, as soon as I saw the noble, the blessed face of the beloved messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, araftu. I immediately came to know. I immediately understood that this face cannot be the face of a liar. This face is not the face of a liar. This person is a truthful person. This person is a man of truth. Allahu Akbar. فَكَانَ. And then he mentions the first hadith sharif. The first thing I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say was that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ. spread salam. The first message of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara was afshu salam, greet people, spread salam, spread peace. Give people salam, spread peace. Allahu Akbar, how beautiful is that? Wa at'im at-ta'am, and feed people. Wa silu al-arham, and mend or make ties with those individuals, your relatives, etc. Wa sallu bil-layl, وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ, and pray during the night while the rest of the people are sleeping. Beautiful message. Pray, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night. Whilst the rest of the people are sleeping, تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامُ, and then you shall enter Jannah in peace. Allahu Akbar. Hadith al-Salam, my dear viewers of Madinah. This is what the scholars call it. They call it Hadith al-Salam. A beautiful narration, the first hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. This person, Abdullah ibn Salam, he was the chief rabbi of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. It's a beautiful story of him coming and accepting Islam. He comes and is mentioned that he says, وَكَتَمْتُ إِسْلَامِ مِنْ يَهُودِ. He says, I would hide my Islam from my people. Yes, those people would claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. I would hide my Islam from them. فَمَجِئْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and he says that, you know, I came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, that these people, these are a corrupt, a deceitful, type of people. And he says, وَإِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَن تَدْخُلَنِي فِي بَعْدِ بِيُوتِكَ, and I wish, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, if you could, you know, hide me somewhere in one of your houses. That's beautiful. In one of your houses, because they're all the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If only you could hide me somewhere. Yes? And Ya Rasulullah, if you could hide me from my people. Why? He had a plan. ثُمَّ تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَنِّي, and then go to my people and ask them about me. I'm going to mention the story without mentioning the Arabic. We only have a few minutes. He says, Ya Rasulullah, please hide me from my people because they cannot be trusted. Yes, I wish to accept Islam. But Ya Rasulullah, first hide me from my people. And then ask my people about me. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He hid him, yes, in one of the homes. And then he went and he called those people of his. And he called them. And he asked them about Abdullah bin Salam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says to the people, Ayyu rajulin al-Husayn ibn Salam fikum. You know, what sort of person is this, Abdullah ibn Salam? Or Al-Husayn, this is what narration mentions. Ibn Salam, you know, what sort of person is he? And they reply, they say, he is Sayyiduna. Wabnu Sayyidina. Now he himself is our Sayyid. He's speaking about Husayn ibn Salam. That he is our master, you know, he's the son of our master, he's our scholar, a great scholar, he's our main leader. This is who he is to us. And then what happens is, okay, the Messenger, he hears them, that they are praising this person so much. And then what happens is, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Salam radhiyallahu anhu, he hears, you know, what is it these people are saying? He's saying, I'm this to them, I'm the big scholar, I'm this, I'm that, etc., etc. And then what happens, he comes and he calls out to the Yahud. And he calls out to these people. And he says to them, that, oh people, اتقوا الله واقبلوا ما جاءكم به فوالله إنكم لتعلمون إنه لرسول الله تجدونه مكتوبا عندكم في التوراة باسمه وصفته فإني أشهد أنه رسول الله. He says, oh Yahud, have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh people, have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept what this man has brought, for I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Messenger of Allah. You have read about him, his name, his description in your book. You have read about him in your book. Now accept him. For I bear witness that he is a Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do they do? How do they react? They say, you are lying. This is what you're doing. You're lying. No, you're making it up. No. There's something behind this. We do not accept it. We cannot accept it. We cannot believe you. Allahu Akbar. And he was proving to them, Ya Rasulullah, see, I told you, this is the type of people they are. They say, I'm this. I'm the big scholar. I'm whatnot. And, you know, now he comes, I'm saying the truth. I've read about you. And now they're saying I'm a liar. There was something understood, subhanAllah. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he enters the folds of Islam and he becomes amongst the noble companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I mean, David's of Manajjal, sadly, time has run out. But inshallah, next time there's so much more to hear on the life of the beloved Messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Join us next time for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.